Hello, Grace Point, wherever you may be. That video still gets me as someone who's afraid of heights, but that video I think is very fitting as we go through this book of James and how hard it is to follow in faith, put faith in action. But it's also very relevant for the COVID season that we have been enduring for a long time. I think this COVID season obviously has been difficult, but in this sense, am I really going to trust God? Am I really going to trust God? I think this COVID season has revealed, has demonstrated for Christians, what do we really believe? What do we really believe? And then when government mandates come down, we have to wrestle with them, not as American citizens, but as believers. And I'm just so thankful I'm surrounded by an elder board of godly men who are humble but serious of what Scripture says. When there's a mandate to, when you gather, you know, 6 feet from another family member or wear a mask, those are inconvenient. But we can do those. But when there's mandates of worshiping God or not, as a church, we are called to gather, we're called to share God's word, and we are called and commanded to worship God. So with humble hearts and not a fist in the air, we say, we're going to worship God. And so, I just challenge all of us to chill the attitude when it comes to mask and distancing, because we can come in here. And if you're at home today for all the right reasons, we applaud you and support you. But as a church, if you go to our gracepointkidsup.info, there's a COVID page and a statement from the elders, and then also below that statement gives you a little history, but also there's some backstory, which information that we've heard has been very helpful because you get a chance to really read the heart of your church leaders. I encourage you to do that. As we continue in our book of James study, James doesn't mix words, he's not vague, he's just pretty direct. And it's been a challenge. It's a challenge to put our faith in action when he says you need to consider it joy when you have trials, because they're actually blessings in disguise. And he's like, challenge us, don't be hearers of the word, but actually do it. What a novel concept. He says, don't be prejudiced. If you're a believer, you should never be prejudiced. Kind of lays that out pretty clear. He says, control your tongue, which all of us have a challenge to do. You know, don't live for yourself. It's not all about us. You know, and live, you know, for a purpose and beyond ourselves, and make it count, because life is short. Then last week, TJ did a great job. It was like, don't be greedy, James says. Don't be greedy. Be generous. Then today, he says, be patient. Like, sure. Okay, James, we'll throw that in there too. We'll get right on that. Be patient. Well, that's what we're going to look at today. Turn to James chapter 5, if you would, verse 7. We'll continue. If you don't have a Bible with you, we'll have it on the screen. Whenever I have it on the TV, because I want to break the meanings down, but we'll have it there. But before we get to the text, I want to show you a couple of quotes about patience. Here's one. I love this one. I had my patience tested. I'm negative. Anybody can relate to that? Well, yeah. I don't have it. I love this definition of patience. Patience is what you have when there are too many witnesses. Ouch. And then I love this prayer request. Some of you, this could be your prayer for the rest of this year. Lord, give me patience, because if you give me strength, I'm going to need bail money too. Let's close in prayer. God. If you're taking notes, here's a central point today. Central point is this: patience is the mature response when I am not in control. You can take a picture of this. You can put that up in your house, in all of your children's rooms. All right. Patience is the mature response when I am not in control. Obviously, the opposite side of that is no patience is the immature response when I am not in control. And in this passage we're going to break down today, there are four mentions of patience, four times. Three of them, the first three, have the same Greek meaning, which helps us kind of paint a picture of what that word actually means. It's a two-part Greek word that means, it says macro plus thumeo. That's where we get the word thermometer. Here's the real meaning of it, is long heat. How long does it take for you to get hot? Long heat, be patient, be patient. Should take a long time for you to lose your cool and get hot. Long fuse, long fuse. And what happens is in this passage, he gives, you know, all these commands to be patient and gives us three examples of when to be patient and then a picture of a person or an illustration of how to be patient. And we need an extra dose of patience. This is when it is really tested. Here's an extra dose, is when my circumstances are uncontrollable. Anybody can relate? When my circumstances are uncontrollable, it is outside my control. So if I have patience in the midst of I can't control things, that's a very mature and I would say godly response to that. And the first example that James gives us is a farmer. Verse 7, he says this, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters." He's talking to Christians. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you're off the hook. But he's saying to followers of Jesus, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits. And he waits and waits and waits for the land to yield its valuable crops. Patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, Christian, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. All right, as a farmer, he waits patiently. He's waiting, waiting, waiting for the valuable crop, right? The life-sustaining crop. The crop that will help him as he sells it to have access to funds to take care of his family. But he has to wait for it. Then he has to wait for the autumn and the spring rains. There is nothing he can do regarding the rain. And what a farmer does is he doesn't just, you know, put his hand in his pocket. It's like, all right, I'm just praying for rain. I'm just waiting for rain. No, he's preparing for rain by tilling the soil, removing the rocks and removing the weeds and have the kind of the trenches and put seeds in the trenches and covers them back up. He is preparing for rain, but the rain is out of his control. And the success of his crops, if he does his part, is out of his control. And he's saying, Christians, like a farmer, you need to be patient. A long heat, a long fuse when things are out of your control. And patience really is a sign of our maturity, is are we going to lose it? And I think right now, given the many months of COVID, a lot of us are on the verge of losing it. And God knew before I even heard of the word COVID that God said, you got to go through the book of James. And that this passage will be for this week. No accidents with God. So we have no control. When the school district says we're going to push out in classroom gatherings, we have no control over that. We have no control when those above us have a shutdown. When there's economic uncertainty, we have no control over those things. We have no control of anything except how we respond to it. We know we can't control politicians. We know we can't control the weather. We know we can't control the stock market. We know we can't control anything. And here's a question that I think we need to just take this question, put it off to the side for our own sanity's sake. Is the question is, when will things get back to normal? We just need to put that aside. And we need to prepare for rain. Spiritually, we need to prepare for rain. Don't ever say, I don't have enough time to read God's word. I don't have enough time to pray. I don't have enough time to worship. We have time. We need to prepare for rain spiritually. We need to prepare for rain relationally. That if you have these rugrats at home and they're around your ankles all the time, well, you can be mad at them and lose patience with them, have no patience, and you can be mad at the district and you're mad at this and that, instead of crying out to God, God, what can I do? This is the opportunity to redeem the time, for the days are evil, Philippians says. Okay, yes, I'm frustrated. Got it. You're human. Reality. Understand. But what can we do? How can I invest in my kids? What can I do? God, I need to prepare for rain. I need to prepare for rain financially. Maybe it's I got to cut back on things because I don't know what's going to happen. So I'm going to be a good steward of the funds that God has given me. I'm going to prepare for rain though. All right, I'm going to receive what God gives to me. I'm going to worship him, giving first, honoring God first, and then manage the rest. But I'm going to maybe not buy certain things, or I need to start saving more. I need to prepare for rain. But the rain is out of the control of the farmer. And there's so many things that are out of our control. And patience. I need patience when my circumstances are uncontrollable. And I love the hope that James sprinkles in this passage. Look at this a little carefully. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. Be patient, stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. He gives us like a perspective. Like, I know it's hard right now, but guess what? The Lord's coming, and he's coming back. Now, if you're new to Bible study, the coming of the Lord, the second coming of Christ, actually comes in two waves. The first wave is Jesus comes back in the air. 1 Thessalonians talks about capturing his church, his bride, and taking them back up to heaven. And in the Revelation, it says we got to go to the wedding supper of the Lamb, and the church is taken out as Christ meets us in the air, and the Holy Spirit goes with us. And then the earth is void of Christianity and void of the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit. And the earth is crying out, can we just have all these religious fanatics leave, and can we just get our way? Well, there's coming a day where they will get their way, but those 7 years, God's going to bring his way. It's called judgment. God will make all the evil pay. He's going to take his bride, his believers, his children out. But the second wave of the second coming is he's not just meets us in the air, he comes to the ground, the Mount of Olives, where he went to heaven. He comes back down. He defeats all enemies and sets up his kingdom, his millennial reign. So it's interesting in this passage telling us to do one of the hardest things in life, right, is be patient. He says, I want you to remind you to be patient until the Lord's coming. By the way, the Lord's coming is near. Every day is a day closer to his coming. Every day is a day closer to his coming. And we could be looking for all kinds of things, right? We can look for all these things in Wall Street, or things in the economy, and things with the school district, and all these things. But let me remind you, Christians are not waiting for something, but someone. Are you waiting for someone, or you just keep waiting for something that's out of your control? Christians are waiting not just for something, but for someone. And if Jesus says he's coming back, he's going to keep his word. He's going to keep his word. So be patient when my circumstances are uncontrollable. The second dose of patience that we need is this, is that when people are unchangeable, don't elbow anybody or point. All right, when people are unchangeable, they just won't change. I wish they would change. They just won't change. And he gives an example of the prophets. Look in verse 9. He says this, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. God's watching. As a matter of fact, the judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, believers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. all these Old Testament prophets, what they had to put up with. Whenever I am discouraged as a pastor or frustrated, you know, with negative emails or comments or posts on Facebook, I think of the Old Testament prophets. I have it pretty easy. Moses is referred to as the prophet of prophets in the Old Testament. And boy, did he have to had a lot of patience with the people that God chose him to take out of slavery, you know, 400 plus years of slavery in Egypt, and they get their freedom for the first time in their life, and they're complaining. They're complaining. We don't have enough water to drink. We're going to die. We need water. And then God gives them water. Oh, thank you. But we don't have food. God gives them food. But we need meat. You know, here's In-N-Out. You know, I mean, here's how God's answering prayers all the time. The Egyptians are coming. Let me part the Red Sea. Oh, praise God. Complaining. He endured it. God called them. I know you're leading these stubborn and stiff-necked people. Guess what we are sometimes? Stubborn and stiff-necked. Elijah, threatened by wicked Queen Jezebel, I'm going to kill you by this time tomorrow. Jeremiah, the prophet, who was ignored. He would give, here's what God says, thus saith the Lord. They're like, can't hear you. We don't want to listen to you. We don't like you. I'm going to throw you in a mud pit. I'm going to drop you in prison. Isaiah, we don't want to hear your prophecy. We don't want to hear about what's going to happen with Babylon. Isaiah, just shut up. They threw him into a log and cut the log in half. So if you ever think it's hard, like, I'm just about out of my patience, just think about the Old Testament prophets. And they endured. So who are you related to? Who are you married to or work for? That they're unchangeable. Now, again, dose of reality. Babies can change. Little children can change. Even middle school students can change. I know from experience, high school students can change. It gets harder. College, but the older we get, the more hardened we become. So if you have been grumbling against a spouse, against a child, adult child, you know, who's older now, against a boss, and you grumble, you're just wasting your energy. Because they most likely, unless it's a miracle from God, which is outside your control, they will not change. Your in-laws, they will not change. The people in your life, you're like, oh, they're most likely, they will not change. But guess what? We can choose to change our attitude. We can choose to close our mouth and stop grumbling against them, whoever they are in your life. Because we can choose to say, you know what? I'm not going to let you steal my joy. I'm not going to have you rain on my praise. I'm not going to allow your uncontrollable attitude to ruin my life and my present and my future. We have the ability to make some changes with God's help to change our attitude, change our what comes out of our mouth. Yeah, it takes maturity, but we can. But let's remind you of the central point. Patience, even with uncontrollable people, patience is the mature response when I am not in control, including those who are unchangeable. But if we get closer to Jesus, the Bible says the closer we are to Jesus, Galatians 5, that what will become out of us, manifested out of us, is the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, gentleness, strength under control, self-control. The closer we are to Jesus, he actually changes us from the inside out, which may drive that unchangeable person even more crazy. They're like, you're not affecting me anymore. I'm going to choose. You're not going to affect me. The closer we are to Jesus, he'll change us from the inside out. There's a third example, another dose that we need in this passage. It's a dose is when God is unexplainable. You ever been upset at God? I have. Have you ever yelled at God when you're driving down the road? Done that multiple times. God has not struck me with lightning. God's a big God. He can handle my patheticness, if that is a word. But it's hard for us to understand God, right? There are times that God is unexplainable. Why are you doing this? Why are you allowing this? Why won't you fix this? Why won't you change this? Why won't you do... God, where are you? Anybody feel what I'm talking about? Okay, nobody. All right, maybe it's just me. Okay. Just be patient. And he gives us the example of Job. Look at verse 11. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance. Many translations. You've heard of Job's patience, or the patience of Job, and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Now, first three words of patient, all right, long heat. This word, patience, perseverance, literally means this: to remain under a pressure, which many of us have right now in our lives. We're so sick and tired of this, which is most likely out of our control, right? And it is most likely may not change for a little bit. But that perseverance, that patience says, I'm going to, and I don't like it, but I'm going to choose to remain under a pressure, under a pressure. Now, what's the theme of the book of Job? Let me tell you what it's not, which many people think it is. The theme of the book of Job is not sufferings. The theme of the book of Job is not how to find a kind and faithful wife. That was a joke, if you know the wife of Job. That's not the theme. The theme is people have all kinds of ideas of what the theme of the book of Job is. Here's the theme of the book of Job. Is God worthy to be worshipped regardless of what happens? Is God worthy to be worshipped regardless of what happens? Quick Cliff Note version of the story of Job. Satan, still to this day, can come into the presence of God and have a conversation with them. There's coming a day where he'll be chained up and can't do that. Even today, he comes in the presence of God accusing the saints. Have you seen her? Have you seen him? How come? What kind of follower are they of you? And he comes into the presence of God, and God says, have you seen my servant Job? Satan goes, yes, I've seen Job. Of course he follows you. Of course he worships you because he's so blessed by you. You take away his blessings and he'll curse you. And God goes, I'll give you permission to remove his blessings. Satan goes, okay. And he took away his cattle. He took away his houses. He took away even children. He took away money. He had nothing left but him and his wife. And he didn't curse God. And then Satan comes back in the presence of God, and God says, have you seen my servant Job? He's still praising me, he's still worshiping me. And he goes, yeah, of course I've seen him worshiping you and following you, but if you take away his health, then he'll curse you. And God goes to Satan, I give you permission to touch his health, but you cannot kill him. So Job's health is jacked up, boils from head, top of the head to the soles of his feet. He can't sit, he can't walk, he can't sleep without pain. And his wife was like, just curse God and die. But Job's heart said, am I only going to worship God when it's good? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter what happened, God is still worthy of my worship. God is still worthy of my praise. It's easy to praise God when things are good and our bank account is full and our health is there and we have all the things that we thought were normal back in the day but are now gone. And as long as they were all around, we're like, good, I'm gonna glorify God. No, the theme of Job is God worthy to be worshiped regardless of what happens? Now here's a myth. It's a myth. Myth is this. God will not give us more than we can handle. How many have heard that before? Well, in the Bible it says, in the good book. Guess what? It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible at all. God says, now when you're tempted to do evil, tempted to sin, with every temptation, I will give you a way of escape. You have an escape of temptation called turn off the computer, all right? Don't go to that show. Don't get into that store, you know, that strip show. You have choices. We have ways of escape. But does God give us more than we can handle? Yes. If you think it have it bad, read the book of Job again. It was more than he could handle. But God is there in his strength when we are weak. And our weakness becomes strong when we lean into God. And God will place us in positions where we are dependable on God, we are even desperate for God, and God will even allow things that are way beyond our capabilities. The question is, are we still going to worship God? Actually, let's go back to verse 11. There's something interesting there that I don't want you to forget. He says, you've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord, say that word, finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. You see, early in the book, it looks horrible. We're in a chapter of our lives right now that's not fun. It's painful. But God has the whole story in mind. And there's coming a day where God will finally bring about his goodness to us. Finally. We're not there yet. But all through the trials, all through the blessings, all through life, God is full, is overflowing. It doesn't stop. Full of compassion. He still loves us. That he still, if we have eyes to see, blessing us. If we have eyes to see, we still have many things to be grateful for. His compassion just keeps coming. And if God would give us what we really deserve, but you know what? He gives us his mercy. He withholds what we really deserve all the time. His mercies are new every morning. Here's an advanced faith, not a junior faith. This is an advanced faith. Filtering my present with the Lord's promised future in mind. I'm going to take my present. I'm going to put it through the filter of God's future, all right, his promised future in mind. That's what Job did. Job is amazing. We don't know how he knew God, what he understood about God, but Job, in his darkest moment, he says something powerful. I know that my Redeemer lives. He knew that he needed redemption, and he knew, I don't know how he knew that, but he knew there's someone greater than I that's going to rescue me, and my Redeemer lives. He was filtering his present with the promised future in mind. In January of this year, the beloved wife of Dr. Tony Evans, fantastic preacher, man of influence, his wife passed away, and they had a funeral service, four-hour-long funeral service. And at the end of the service, the son of Tony gets up to share, Jonathan, and he's sharing how God didn't answer prayer. God, where are you? Where were you? Didn't you hear the prayers? He's like, God's unexplainable. Why didn't you come on, God? You ever been there? And Jonathan is just being authentic. He shares a powerful truth of understanding the full scope of God's plan. Watch this short video.
But I just want to tell you, just for a moment, trust me, I won't be long. I just want to tell you that my thoughts over the past few days, I was wrestling with God. Because I said, well, if we have victory in your name, didn't you hear us when we were praying? Didn't you see the people who were walking around my mom and dad's house like Jericho, trying to make sure that they can knock down the walls of this cancer? Didn't you hear the prayers of Bishop T.D. Jakes and Brian Carter and Antioch and Friendship West and Gateway and The Village? Didn't you hear all of those prayers? Didn't you hear us? Where are you? Why didn't you do what we were asking of you? Because your word says that if we abide in you and your word abides in us, then we could ask whatever we will and it will be given to us. Your word tells us that if we ask according to your will, that you hear us. Your word is telling us that in Mark 11, if you pray believing, you will receive. To be anxious for nothing, but through prayer and supplication, make your request known. Where are you? I was wrestling with God the last few days because this was a great opportunity that we can tangibly see your glory. Everybody was praying, not only in Dallas, but around the country and around the world. People were watching. Where are you? This was an opportunity for us to see your glory. And as I was wrestling with God, he answered. And he said, number one, you don't understand the nature of my victory. Because just because I didn't answer your prayer your way doesn't mean that I haven't already answered your prayer anyway. Because victory was already given to your mom. You don't understand, because of the victory that I have given you, there was always only two answers to your prayers. Either she was going to be healed or she was going to be healed. Either she was going to live or she was going to live. Either she was going to be with family or she was going to be with family. Either she was going to be well taken care of or she was going to be well taken care of. Victory belongs to me.
Just because God didn't answer your prayers your way doesn't mean God hasn't answered your prayers anyway. God has the full story in mind. God knew what Job was going to go through and how hard it was going to be, but he said, and when he finally brought about, right? When he finally brought the rest of the story to it, and then it finishes this section by going, the Lord is full, overflowing of compassion and mercy. And we are so finite beings that don't understand the infinite, and our finite minds get to the point of, God, just answer this prayer now. I want her or them to live now. If they're a believer in Christ, God goes, I answered your prayer by taking them where they really live, where they begin to fully live. I want them to be healed now. God goes, I will answer that prayer. And I take them home because now they are fully healed to never struggle again physically. So many of us, and rightly so, are concerned about our freedoms now. But if you trust in Christ, God goes, wait till you really understand freedom. We can be so impatient with God when we don't understand him, when he's unexplainable. But God's compassion in our struggles, he says, I'm going to give you my compassion. I'm not going to give you what you deserve, which is compassionate. I'm not going to give you what you deserve, but he keeps loving us. He keeps providing our needs, not our wants. And he does answer the prayer of his children. It's either yes or no. That's a bad thing for you. Or you need to wait to see the full answer later in heaven. So patience. What is patience? Patience is the mature response when I am not in control. In these areas, we're not in control of circumstances, people, right? When God, and I'll pick up on this next week of what God does, God does what he will do regardless. Patience. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for giving us compassion day after day. Thank you for your mercy that's new every morning. God, you understand that we struggle here in this broken world. And nothing's in our control but our response. Lord, I pray for those people that needed to hear from you today that they need to choose. I'm going to choose joy. I'm going to walk with Jesus so I have the fruit of the Spirit more. I'm going to stop complaining about people that just won't change. And God, I'm going to stop being mad at you when I don't understand you. Lord, I pray that there'll be many hearts surrendering their response and their attitudes, because you are worthy to be praised no matter the circumstance. God, you are worthy of our praise. Thank you for being a God full of compassion and mercy to us. And in your name, we pray by faith. Say, Jesus, help us. Amen. Amen. We'll have some questions on the screen in the room and on the screen at home. But also, if you're in the house today and you are our guest today, a visitor, I would encourage you to go to the guest services under the I'm New sign. We have a gift we want to bless you with. May God bless you this week. Keep worshiping him regardless. Amen. Hope to see you again next week.